This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. It's been over a month since our last show, and for good reason, we'll explain it all. But tonight, we've got some great beers to try. A couple of IPAs, one from New York and one from Nebraska. We've got a strange brew, a oyster stout, and we'll finish it off with the 11th anniversary barley wine from Double Mountain. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dallas. It's been a while, and I'm thirsty for some beer and looking forward to this show.
Certainly. Well, we have a couple of good ones lined up. But before we jump into the first beer, how about you catch everybody up on your recent beer experiences?
Well, I've been busy. I've been drinking a lot of beer, as I do. I mean, with the site called Beer of the Day, I mean, I drink a lot and post a lot of beers. But I just recently got back from San Francisco, went to a couple breweries there, Cellar Maker, which I've talked about, I think, in the past. I also went to McKellar, which I think a lot of people are pretty familiar with McKellar. Nice, you know, good beer selection there, not your standard beers that we have at a lot of breweries these days, a little bit different. So that was cool. Also went to a new place for me called Standard Deviant, which is in the heart of San Francisco. Interesting place. They only had one IPA. I think they are sort of making the beers that they want to make and not, you know, jumping on a bandwagon of a whole bunch of hazy IPAs and stuff like that. So it was a good experience, really cool tasting room, high quality beers. So that was a fun trip visiting San Francisco.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you got some good beers in there.
Absolutely. I actually had a really interesting beer recently that was not from that trip, but I wanted to share Lord Hobo, which you're familiar with, Dallas. And I think a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with because they distribute pretty widely now. I had a beer the other day called Angelica, which is a wheat beer, which I don't think I've ever sort of come back and talked about a wheat beer, but it was a really excellent beer. I think it was more like a very hoppy pale ale, almost borderline IPA, just made with a lot of wheat to the point where they call it a wheat beer. It was phenomenal. It was one of the best beers I've had in the last couple months. So I think it's a new beer from Lord Hobo. Really tasty. So if you see that Angelica, it was an awesome beer.
Awesome. I'll have to look for that. I, on the other hand, haven't had much beer, but I've got a good excuse. And a big reason why we haven't done a show in a while is because Heather and I welcomed my first kid, our daughter, at the end of May. Victoria was born, and so we've been extremely busy with a newborn, and not a lot of sleep, and but never a dull moment, that's for sure. So it's been really, really cool, but I can't even think of the last beer I had since the last show. So it's been that crazy. But
well, I've been drinking the beer for you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, I have been looking at Beer of the Day every single day, and a lot of good beers getting posted. Those photos look really good. Just before we get into it, I was doing some work on Beer of the Day recently, and kind of reorganizing some stuff a little bit, and I'm putting a new feature on there where you can scroll through past beers of the day. So if you go on the right side of the site, click the little thumbnail, and it will pull up kind of full screen photos of all the previous beers of the day. You can keep scrolling down through them over and over and just kind of get a good look at the 1,256 beers that Jeff has posted over the last 3 years. It's pretty crazy.
My liver hates me.
So that and the other order of business is social media. So our team of Beer of the Day lawyers have been busy, and they have procured the Beer of the Day username on Facebook and on Instagram. So Twitter has always been at Beer of the Day. Instagram is now at Beer of the Day, and Facebook is facebook.com/Beer of the Day. So we have the same username all over the board, and it'll be easier for everyone to remember. And I don't have to remember and say three different things every single episode. So just Beer of the Day on any social media. How cool is that?
We got to get new business cards and coasters.
Oh, that's right. Oh, man. I didn't think about that.
That's okay. We'll get by.
We'll get by.
Let's drink some beer.
Yeah. So this first one is kind of, Jeff and I saw this one on Tavor. It popped up, and I don't think you can get a better beer that like fits the Beer of the Day theme more than this one. It's called Every Day, Once a Day, Give Yourself an IPA. And it's from Evil Twin Brewing, Brooklyn, New York.
Pretty much defines us. I mean, we don't only drink IPAs, obviously, but this kind of defines the Beer of the Day. It smells good.
Comes in a tall can, kind of black or navy blue. Pretty good looking can, I'd say.
The color always sort of throws me off when we drink beer at night without like natural light, but it's semi-hazy. It's not super hazy. It looks to be a little bit of a gold, like a light golden color, not super dark.
Yeah, I was immediately thought it was lighter than I expected it to be. It's not even in the copper color. It's like more of a golden, light golden color.
Yeah.
Like Jeff said, slight haze, thin head that dissipates pretty quickly. I'm only seeing a thin layer of medium-sized to large bubbles at the top.
I got about a finger, though. Mine's pretty thick, and mine's sticking around. Maybe I poured it more vigorously. But I got a pretty sizable, frothy head.
Yeah, I think maybe my beer's a little colder than yours. It's not producing the head. Very, very aromatic beer. Love the citrus, grapefruit type aroma on this beer.
Oh, wow. Taste is really nice. I mean, I'm curious what you think, but it's got a milky lactose flavor right off the bat. It's hoppy, but it's, you know, there's a lot of these IPAs now have that lactose. A lot of Omnipolo beers have this same flavor. It's like that creamy, very creamy mouthfeel for sure, but like that vanilla lactose flavor. I mean, it says on the can, I see now vanilla and lactose, but it's very apparent.
Oh, yeah, it's true. But I'm also getting, for me, like the most prevalent thing is just that fresh hop flavor. It's kind of a grapefruit citrus type of hop. Maybe a little bit sweeter than grapefruit. Grapefruit kind of connotes a sour, and this isn't that sour, but lemon for sure. If it wasn't so hoppy, I would say it kind of has like a Hefeweizen quality as far as like the fruits type of flavor goes. But I don't want to say that because this is firmly an IPA. But for some reason, those that type of citrus kind of reminds me of qualities of Hefeweizen.
I think what it is, like the texture of the beer, and we've said this about a few beers in the past, kind of reminds me of like an Orange Julius. it's not quite like a milkshake. I mean, it's not like that thick or creamy, but it's got that. It reminds me of like a orange creamsicle. It is a little sweet. I think you mentioned the sweetness. It's like a candy sweetness, especially in the finish. There's zero bitterness at all in this beer. It's 9%. It is double dry hopped, very hoppy, a little sweet, but it's that very kind of northeast flavor, not necessarily the look.
It's got the flavor, not the look, and the aftertaste, a little bit of just enough bitterness in the aftertaste, and it lingers quite a while, but it's very, I'm glad it does. This is a solid IPA. It's not over the top. I mean, it's a double IPA, but you're not like overwhelmed by it. And I guess if you're an IPA fan and you're going to have an IPA every day, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to drink this one.
Yeah, it's good. I like it a lot, but the lactose changes everything. I mean, this is vastly different from like a West Coast style IPA. When you put lactose in there, it is just changes the whole creaminess, the mouthfeel. It's totally different from IPAs that we used to drink.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, well, I think we're off to a good start there. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. So I have here in my hand the results of the 2018 U.S. Open Beer Championship. They had 377 medal winners. And this is like kind of like how the British Open is going on this week. But this is like the U.S. Open for beer. And they allow entries from all over the world to come and participate in this contest. And they have top breweries, most creative beer names, and then they have winners in every category of beer. So I'll run through those, but if you have a specific type of beer that you'd like me to let you know what the best beer they found in that particular style is. I also thought it was interesting that they allowed home brewers to enter in their brews into the contest, and several of the home brewers actually medaled, and which is kind of cool also, even competing against like legit breweries. Some home brewers won some medals also. So top 10 breweries of 2018. Let's see if we've had any of these. Number one, Pedicolis Brewing in Texas. Number two, Brink Brewing, Ohio. Three, Blacktooth Brewing, Wyoming. Four, Cigar City Brewing, Florida. Had that one. They're kind of a sellout, right? Or they sold out to
private equity firm, I think.
Yeah. Revelry Brewing Company, South Carolina. Garage Brewing in California. Red Brick Brewing in Georgia. Liquid Mechanics Brewing, Colorado. Motorworks Brewing, Florida, and Rubens Brews in Washington. So a lot of not big breweries on that list, ones that we haven't had before.
Actually, like half of those I've never even heard of. I heard good things about, just being in California, I heard good things about Garage Brewing. That's in Temecula. I haven't had any of their beers, but I heard it was pretty good. And I think we're very familiar with Rubens and obviously Cigar City. But the rest of those, they must be pretty small up-and-coming places because I haven't really heard of most of those.
Yeah, I haven't either. Interesting. Top 10 most creative beer names. Number one, Beasts of Bourbon from Liquid Mechanics. Number two, We're Gonna Need a Bigger Cucumber from Columbia Craft Brewing. Another one, Bites the Must from Columbia Craft Brewing. Oh no, from Peter B's Brew Pub. Weapons of Mash Destruction, Maine and Six Brewing Company. Ship Faced, Silver Harbor Brewing. Bring Out Your Dead IPA, Black Plague Brewing, Hoppyright Infringement, NOLA, nice. Sack Fly PA, Knee Deep Brewing, Slack Fly PA. There you go. I had to get the right accent on the word. So Knee Deep is a Sacramento brewery, Sacrifice Flying Baseball, Sack Fly PA. That's pretty good. Poor Decisions, Upstate Brewing, and He Ain't Hefe. Straight to AL. Straight to IL.
That's the Alabama brewery we had on a couple podcasts ago. That was really good. Our first Alabama beer.
That
first
was great.
And only, and it was excellent.
Yeah, yeah. So then you have any particular style you want to know about, Jeff?
Well, I'm always curious what just the normal, I mean, since it's so popular right now, I mean, I don't even know what all IPA categories they have. I think with a competition like this, they have like 50 categories. It's kind of ridiculous how many different styles of beer they judge on. Is there just a regular IPA or double IPA category?
There's an American IPA, Hops de Leon from Torch Top Brewing in Georgia. You Can Feel the Love in This Room, Woodland Empire Ale, Craft from Idaho, and Sodank from Lost Cabin Beer Company. They also have a West Coast IPA category. Lucille, which we had on a show two podcasts ago.
I remember that was an awesome IPA.
Awesome. I still have a couple in my fridge. I need to drink those soon. BGB IPA, Big Grove Brewing in Iowa, and 7K IPA from Santa Fe Brewing in New Mexico. Then they have the New England Juicy IPA category, Hop to Trot, Columbia Craft Brewing Company, South Carolina, State of Haze, Revision Brewing, Nevada. That's the Jeremy Warren's offshoot from Knee Deep. He left Knee Deep and went and opened that one. WTF, Where's the Filter? Copper Point Brewing, Florida. And Bronze, You Like the Juice from Brothers Cascadia Brewing. New England Double IPA. Rubens Triple Crush, Thunder Thief, Red Brick Brewing, and Freak Parade Drecker Brewing. I told you the West Coast IPAs. They have just a standard Imperial IPA category, not a double IPA, Appalachian Mountain Brewing Company, North Carolina, Daredevil Ripcord, Daredevil Brewing, Indiana, double IPA from Randy Suter, a home brewer. Got the silver medal there. And Double Overhead from Maui Brewing, Hawaii.
Cool.
Triple IPA, Dire Wolf IPA, Alameda Brewing. Simtra, got the silver. One of my all-time favorite beers. Good for Knee Deep. Big Mother from Mother Earth. Been there. And Citra High, Mad Tree Brewing. Had several of their beers before.
Yeah, that was one of the... Recently had a couple Mad Tree beers as beer of the day. We had Citra High, and we also had Galaxy High, and both, if I recall, were pretty bitter double IPAs, but they were good. I mean, I think all of us, especially if Joel was here, we're all big fans of Mad Tree.
Yeah, so you look at all these categories, English Summer Ale, English Pale Ale, English IPA, all the IPAs, bitter ESB, English Mild Ale, Classic Irish Dry Stout, Foreign Stout, Oatmeal Stout, British Imperial Stout, American Imperial Stout, Old Ale, Scottish Ale, Irish Red Ale, Alt Beer, Kolsch, Wheat, Hef, Belgian Saison, Belgian Pale. You know, it's like, it goes on and on and on.
I mean, this list is so extensive. Is this something we can put up on the website for people to check out?
Yes. So on the podcast page, there is a link to articles that we discuss on this podcast. So you can just go to the podcast page and click the link. It'll take you straight to this list. Pretty interesting. The other article I wanted to talk about was about demographics. Nielsen shared the latest craft beer consumer insights about who is drinking craft beer in America. And the average craft beer drinker in America is a male, age 21 to 34, that makes $75,000 to $99,000 annually.
Rules us out on every category.
Except male. let's see. More adults are drinking craft beer. The survey found that 47% of weekly craft beer drinkers said they are drinking more craft beer, while 18% said they were drinking less. So of the weekly drinkers, they are drinking more. And 32% of all craft drinkers said their consumption had increased, whether they're a weekly drinker or not. 49% of men, up from 46%, 31% of women say they drink craft beer. So that's interesting. 49% of men say they drink craft beer. That's higher than I would think.
Well, and I wonder if that just means they like occasionally drink craft beer, because obviously volume of beer purchased, it's not 49% craft beer. I mean, craft beer is still a very small percentage compared to InBev products, Miller, Coors, all that stuff. But maybe people just say, do they drink craft beer? Yes, but they probably also drink a lot of Modelo and Corona, which are two of the fastest growing beers in the U.S.
Yeah. Brewery and tasting room visits led to increased purchasing of brand post-visit, according to the survey. 15% of all craft drinkers said they were purchasing a lot more of a brewery's beer after a visit, while 34% said they were buying a little more.
I mean, I think we all feel strongly about supporting local breweries and, you know, going out and trying something that's close to you. And just with when you see the number of breweries that have grown around the country, that just it makes sense that these numbers are what they are, because nowadays every town seems to have a decent craft brewery within reasonable distance.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, so I think that was interesting. I'll put a link to that article up there as well, and you can check that out. All right, well, let's get into the second beer of the night. We have another IPA. We're going from 9% up to 9.3%, and this is called Supa Juice. It's from Cross Strain Brewing in La Vista, Nebraska.
First of all, great label on this beer. I think the artwork of this painting of hop, you know, hop cones is pretty awesome. Eventually, we will feature this as the beer of the day, and I would highly encourage you to check out the picture, because it'll probably be pretty good, and you'll be able to see the label.
Yeah, beautiful artwork on the label.
So this is not really hazy at all. It's not, you know, completely clear, not transparent, but I would call it a fairly clear beer. Also lighter in color, kind of that golden straw color. I have quite a few streams of bubbles rising up from the bottom. Good carbonation, hopefully.
Now, mine poured a little differently. Mine is more kind of an, not quite amber, but more orange than golden. So it's a little darker than the previous beer. And I'd say there's a fair amount of cloudiness here. It's not like a cloudy beer, like a northeast cloudy, but I can't really see my finger through the beer, so maybe mine got churned up a little bit more before I poured it.
I actually don't get a lot on the aroma.
No, it's more reserved than the previous beer as far as aroma goes, but what aroma I do get is more of the same. It's kind of that very light orange citrus type of aroma. It's not quite as juicy as the previous one, which is a little surprising, because when you say Supa Juice, you think it's going to be like super juicy. This actually has a little more maltiness, kind of more of an earthy, grainy type of quality. And there's also a little bit of like spiciness to it. It has a little bit more of a bite than the previous beer, which is a good thing though. Like there's more, it's more substantive A little more character on this one. I think this is one to apply Andy Hamilton's patented three sip rule on this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think I had high expectations based on the label. I was really looking forward to this, and it's pretty good. But I think this will grow on me. I think first couple sips were just okay. I think as I try a little bit more, it'll get better. I definitely agree with you on the spicy hop flavor. It's not like a chili pepper. It's more like a black pepper flavor, and it's herbal and earthy. I don't get much. I mean, maybe a little bit of citrus, but there's not like the tropical fruit. So many IPAs today, the hops create this tropical fruit flavor, and I don't get very much in here. And it's well balanced. Like you said, the maltiness sort of comes through. It's getting better with each sip.
It is. There's a fair amount of bitterness in the aftertaste. This is more of a IPA, aficionados IPA. It's not one that is as accessible to the everyday drinker as that previous beer, the everyday once a day gave yourself an IPA. This one, I think you have to have more of an appreciation for more bitterness in your hoppy beers. You know, it says Supa Juice, which kind of says Northeast, but to me, this tastes a little more like West Coast IPA, traditional West Coast IPA to me.
Yeah, I agree. There's a little bit of juiciness, but it is... Maybe it's just really high quality and you have to have a more sophisticated palate to enjoy this. I like it, don't get me wrong, but it's not the best IPA I've had. But it's definitely drinkable. I mean, I'm glad we had it. We don't get a lot of beers from Nebraska. I think probably the only one we've had would be from Zipline, and they make some really fantastic beers. So it's good for us to geographically branch out and try some stuff from, the Midwest.
Yeah, definitely. The reason we got this one, because I saw it was from Nebraska, and I texted Jeff, and I was like, what was the other Nebraska? I didn't think we had had a Nebraska beer. And he said, oh, yeah, we had Zipline, but that was the only one. A couple months ago, we had our first South Carolina beer, had our first Alabama beer. So we're checking off some states that we haven't been as well represented on Beer of the Day, and adding another Nebraska onto the list is certainly good for diversification's purposes.
What do you think we're at, if you had to guess? Have we had beers on the podcast or is the Beer of the Day from 40 out of the 50 states?
Yeah, 45? Probably 45. I just think there's probably some Dakotas we haven't had.
We've had South Dakota, not on the podcast, but I went to two breweries in South Dakota, brought back beer, featured them as the Beer of the Day. I don't think we've had North Dakota. I don't think we've had Arkansas. Maybe not Mississippi. We've probably had 45 states, so I guess we get around and try a lot of beer from around the U.S.
Yeah, we certainly do. We've probably been to 20 of the states at some point. Just for Beer of the Day, I know you've been to 48 of them.
49.
Oh, wow. What do you have left? Alaska?
Just Alaska.
Well, that's an easy one. That's fun.
Anchorage Brewing Company is out there, and you want to fly me up to do some beer tasting. That could be my 50th state.
That'd be great. They got really good beer, too. All right. We're going to take our quick break. When we come back, we take a turn for the dark side. We have a oyster stout, and then we have a 11th anniversary barley wine. All that when we come back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like this show and you want to support us, a couple ways you can do that. The first is by shopping on Amazon. Every month, people continue to shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, and we get a little bit of a percentage based on what you spend. So it isn't a whole lot, but the money still keeps coming in from Amazon on that little bit of commission, and that does help us out. Another thing you can do is rate and review us on iTunes. We've had a few lately. I'm going to pull them up here on my phone here real quick. Let's see. Mike Mays said, good podcast. He gave us 4 out of 5 stars. That's our only 4-star review. He said, great beer discussions and great exposure to new beers. I would give it a 5 stars if the episodes were more frequent.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, the frequency has been, we've been falling behind a little bit lately, but like I said, it's been a busy couple of months. So forgive us for the a little bit of delays in between the episodes. This is episode 90. So we're still making headway, and we're going to be at 100 before you know it. So thanks for continuing to listen and rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us move up the rank and find more listeners. All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the show. This is the Strange Brew segment where we find a strange beer and try it so you don't have to, unless you want to. We have tonight the Hama Hama Oyster Stout, Oyster Tompkins, from Three Magnets Brewing Company in Olympia, Washington. This is 10.1%. It's an oatmeal stout brewed with what?
It's an imperial oatmeal stout brewed with Hama Hama oysters.
All right. Let's give this a shot.
I've been looking forward to this, but I'm also a little fearful of this, too.
Yeah.
Very dark color. Dark brown. Again, it's hard to tell with the not natural light. It might be close to black, but it looks pretty dark brown. I think. Would you agree? Dark brown.
Yeah, it's got a really dark brown. It's not even tan head. It's like really dark chocolate colored head. Yeah. Even like a little, like maybe like a reddish hue to it.
I think a little bit. The head is definitely dark. I mean, we have some like tan colored head and khaki colored head. This is like as brown as it gets. This is a super dark head. Let me pour myself a little bit more. I'd say it's not a thick head. It's less than a finger, probably half a finger, but it's a thick, foamy head. I mean, this is like, I think this is a beer that puts some hair on your chest. Aroma, I think it's what I expected. Some dark malt.
Oats.
I don't smell any oysters, do you?
No, you're trying to see if there's like a fishy quality to it. I'm not detecting anything like that.
Maybe so. I get nothing like that.
Do you get any like sea salt or anything? I'm not getting that either. I kind of feel like there should be though.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, but mostly I actually get some like dark chocolate, some sweet aroma, some roasted malt. I mean, it smells like a regular stout to me, but let's have a taste and see. Well, I think this is a strange brew in name only. I don't really taste the oyster flavor. Maybe a little bit. I mean, I don't know what... I like oysters. I like seafood, but there's not a lot here. Maybe some, like, Worcestershire sauce?
Yeah,
it's possible. I enjoy this, but it tastes like a stout. It's not too sweet. Maybe that's what it is. Some stouts are really sweet, like dessert like and this is the opposite of that. It is a bold, malty, maybe even a little bit of smoky flavors in this. It's a stout that is the opposite spectrum of a sweet stout. And yeah. I like that.
And like smoky, I mean, you can like have smoked oysters or barbecued oysters, and they'll kind of retain a little bit of that smoky quality to it. But yeah, I'm not, it's more of a kind of a darker rustic oatmeal stout than it is a sweet oatmeal stout.
I think rustic is a good word. It tastes hearty. Like this probably, you could live off of this for a couple of days without any food. There's that sort of, I don't know, minerals in here, I would guess. It's 10.1%, though. I don't know, but I don't really taste it. Don't you think that it's pretty well hidden, the booziness? In a blind taste, I'd guess this is 7%.
Yeah, it's not noticeable hardly at all. Yeah, definitely not as strange as I thought, though. It was, there wouldn't be any hesitation for me to drink that one again.
You know, maybe when we're thinking of like the saltiness, and I said Worcestershire sauce, you said saltiness, I said Worcestershire. I think it's actually like a soy sauce flavor, and some stouts have that. It's not a bad thing. It's just different. I think it's when stouts are not sweet, they tend to have that soy sauce type of feel to it. And this beer has that. It's enjoyable. I like this. Like on a cold day when I need a sipper, it's a good beer. I think Three Magnets, you've had some of their other beers, right? Some of their IPAs, some of their milkshake IPAs.
Yeah, I have a few in the fridge right now.
Yeah, this is probably their first stout that I've had. So it's a little different from what we're used to. I think they predominantly make IPAs. So it's good. It's enjoyable. I don't think it's really a strange brew, but it's tasty nevertheless.
Could you see like marinating meat in this?
I could. Absolutely. I don't know if you marinate meat in beer, but I could. It's that. I think you're spot on. You could do that. It would go, we don't talk a lot about pairing with food, but it would go very well with any sort of grilled meat.
Oyster meat?
Red meat.
Yeah.
Any type of beef, it would go well with that.
I agree.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
All right, comments this week. It's been a little while since the last show, so we had a lot of comments come in. A couple days ago, we featured Spotted Cow from New Glarus Brewing Company. Cajun Brew Lover posted, he's from Baton Rouge. He says, was in Wisconsin this week and was introduced to the cow and loved it. Brought back 3 cases to Louisiana. All bottles arrived in good drinking condition. I guess that says it all.
I don't know what good drinking condition of a bottle is, but
I guess
we intact. Had the cans of that.
Yeah.
They must make Spotted Cow in cans and bottles. We had the cans, but they must have both.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fun brewery trip. They're big, but they're unlike any other brewery for sure. Gardog 3 posted on Gold Creek from Alaskan Brewing Company. Gardog is from Lenoir, North Carolina. He says, Gold Creek is an outstanding beer. Cannot find it alone, but only in a variety pack. Some folks here in Alaska have not even heard of it, especially at some of the liquor stores. Disappointing that you can't buy it in 6 or 12 pack, but it's really tasty and smooth. He says he's from North Carolina, but his comment sounds like he's in Alaska. So either he's visiting or he moved there and didn't update his Beer of the Day profile.
It's kind of funny when he says that some people there have never even heard of that beer. But that's probably the case with most craft beer, I think.
Yeah. Phil from Cardiff, England, that's kind of west of London out on the coast. He posted on Young's Double Chocolate Stout. He says, amazing drink. Found it in a bar in Moscow. So Phil from England is spending some time in Moscow. Guard Maybe Dog from North Carolina spending time in Alaska. So, yeah. I guess the Russians are into that beer too. Rob Dobler from Cochranton, Pennsylvania. That's kind of northwest Pennsylvania up near Lake Erie. He says on Boatswain HLV Ale, Heavy Lift Vessel. This beer is very, very good cold. It must be cold. An extremely hearty ale that pairs very well with a medium rare grilled steak and grilled vegetables. Very specific pairing. He used the term hearty, which Jeff used on the previous beer. And then he's also pairing it with red meat. So maybe Boatswain's a little similar to that oyster stout we just had.
I think the Boatswain is something you can get at Trader Joe's. I don't think I've seen it anywhere else, but I think it's a... I don't know who makes it. I think it's from Wisconsin or somewhere.
Minhas Craft Brewery. They are in Wisconsin.
But I think for those of you who shop at Trader Joe's, that is the only place I've ever seen that beer.
Well, maybe that's where he got it. And then F Green 522 from Bristol, Tennessee, posted on a German non-alcoholic beer called Gerstel. Says, I have enjoyed this beer. Though it is non-alcoholic, it still has the taste of a really good beer. 90 shows in, we have yet to do our non-alcoholic beer show. It's on the list to do at some point. But,
is it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people might not be able to drink alcohol anymore for some health reasons or, you know, alcoholism.
Legal reasons.
Legal
reasons.
I
don't think those are too many of our listeners are drinking non-alcoholic beer. But maybe. Maybe we should do it for fun.
I mean, that's not the first comment we've had on non-alcoholic beer, so.
True.
We should flesh out that category a little bit more, maybe. And that concludes the comments this week. If you have any comments, send them to feedback@beerofthedaycom or hit us up on social media. We are Beer of the Day at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So just send us a direct message or tweet at us or whatever, and we'll read your comment on a future show. Or any webpage on the site, beerofthedaycom, at the bottom of the page, there's a comment section. Every single page, post it there, and we will get it there also. Thanks for your comments. Okay, let's get into the final beer of the night. This is the 11th anniversary barley wine from Double Mountain Brewery, Hood River, Oregon. Double Mountain is, we've had several good beers from them in the past. Lost my bottle opener. There we go.
So this is going to be a beer that I'm pretty sure will kick our asses. 13.2%, 85. It says BU on the bottle. I think they meant IBU, but maybe they're just going to abbreviate to BU.
The I is implied.
I think this would have aged pretty well, but you know, given we got this recently, we want to try it. It's fresh. It's only been out for a few months, I believe. We gotta drink these once in a while, so it's called 11.
This goes to 11.
I was gonna say, where's your music? This goes to 11.
I don't have it on this board.
The one time it's relevant.
Yep.
So this is a bourbon barrel aged barley wine. We don't have a lot of barley wines on the show. I don't think it's our go-to style. They're very strong, usually. We had that session barley wine from Ecliptic.
For not having barley wines on this show very much, we sure have seems like we have a lot of barley wines.
I think the last couple shows, but overall, if you look at the 90 shows we've done, we haven't had a lot of barley wines. I think we like the style, but it's not something we drink on a daily basis. But I think if you're going to do an anniversary beer, barley wine is one of those styles where it makes sense.
Yeah, I agree, and it seems like a lot of the barley wines that we do have on the show are the special anniversary releases. Usually they're barrel aged, usually they're aged. I'd say hit or miss though, a lot of the time. Like,
yeah,
it's a style that's easy to make too strong and be over the top and not enjoyable.
So I just poured mine. I would say color wise, it's like a medium to dark amber color. A little bit lighter than I expected.
I'd say it's like a reddish copper color.
Yeah. About one finger of head, very foamy, off-white, like huge bubbles in this foam, and just swirling it around in the glass. It leaves a lot of lacing on the glass, which I appreciate. I like a beer that usually does that.
Aroma, I'm
appearance
getting...
Appearance-wise, it's good.
Yeah, it looks a lot like a barley wine, and it smells like it, too. It's got those sweet caramel malt, a little booziness, but not... The smell doesn't have the alcoholic kick. What is this, 13.2?
Yeah.
Sometimes when they're that high, you kind of get a whiff of that alcohol, and it kind of scares you off a little bit, like this is going to be tough to drink. But I don't get that on the aroma on this one.
No, but wait till you take a taste of it. Woo! Oh, I mean, it's tasty, but it's boozy. Maybe we should have let this rest a little bit. There's just like on the back end, there's a kick to it. There's like a bite, like snake bite.
Yeah. The alcohol is certainly there. So trying to look past that and get to the actual like malt flavor of the beer, might take a couple of sips here.
It's a sweet maltiness. I mean, it's a malt forward beer. It's not super hoppy.
Yeah, it's not super hoppy, but there's hoppiness there. You know, a lot of times barley wines get to be super sweet and super earthy, dark at the same time. This is not that undrinkable. Like, there's that boozy kick in the aftertaste, but as far as the flavor of this beer goes, it's pretty tame. Like, I'm not getting those dark, earthy, bitter qualities that I get on a lot of barley wines. This is a little bit pleasant, sweeter, drinkable as far as just the flavor goes. Now, there is that booziness in the aftertaste, but if I look past that and try and analyze the essence of the flavor of the beer, it is definitely a little more approachable than a lot of barley wines.
Yeah. And so I cheated a little bit. I looked at the label, but sometimes I have to do that. And when I read what's on the label, it makes a lot of sense now. I mean, this is a complex beer. I get some flavors of fig and dates. There's a fruitiness, like a earthy, there's an earthy fruitiness. It's not like not no citrus, no tropical fruit, nothing like that. It's grapes, it's fig, it's prunes. It's like that dark fruit. I get a little bit of that. And
when you say fig and raisin, that usually gives you like a Belgian quality. I don't get that with this, but when you say prune, that is a little bit more spot on for me with this. That I get.
Prune is it. You're right. There's no Belgian flavors here also. It's rich though. It's a good, I think what I regret is, I wish I would have set this out for about a half an hour before I opened it. I think it's a little too cold the way I'm drinking it. I think if it was a little bit warmer, I would enjoy it more. It's not a beer. I mean, there's different styles that you want to serve at different temperatures. This is one that you probably want at like 55 degrees, whereas, you know, a lot of IPAs and, you know, you'd want it like 45 degrees. That might not seem like a big difference, 10 degrees, but I think it does make a big difference when you're sipping a beer.
It does. In fact, like that initial taste was colder than I would like it. And then on the most recent sip, I like leave it in my mouth and try and warm it up a little bit, just to try and get a little bit more of that flavor. Cause when it's super cold, you actually are losing some of your ability to taste the beer.
Yeah. And I think as it warms up, we can get more flavors. Like I'm holding the glass with both of my hands, trying to warm it up a little bit. And then I take a sip and I get more ability to distinguish the malt flavors. Like there's a lot of actual caramel malt. There's that sweetness. It's not overly sweet, but there's the caramel malt. There's some chocolate malt. You get a little bit of complexity there of different malt flavors that you don't get when it's super cold. Also, maybe like some butterscotch. You get some of that, maybe some butterscotch sweetness.
I get the caramel. Butterscotch, not so much for me, but I'm still kind of blown away by how drinkable this beer is at 13%. Like, I've had a lot of rough barley wines that are hard to drink, and I don't get the enjoyment out of them. This one, I'm liking it a lot. Like, this is an enjoyable beer. I think there was a transition from the previous beers that we had tonight to this one, but once I've kind of warmed up to it, it is drinkable and enjoyable.
Yeah, I think this is well done. I wish I would have bought a couple bottles and could age a couple of these, because I think it would get better with time. It is a little boozy. I mean, it's 13.2%, and it was bottled this year, so you're going to expect it to be pretty hot and boozy, and that's definitely the case. But it's drinkable now. I mean, you can sit there and drink it, but it is not one you can chug or have more than one bottle of these.
Yeah, I mean, you can, but it's not recommended.
If it's the only beer you have, it's fine. But if you have some warm-up beers and then three beers before this, you get to
this one. A
couple
super juices and some other ones.
Yeah, this is like one is good, but it's tasty. I like it. And again, it's a good anniversary beer. This is something that, you know, you're not going to choose an IPA or a Kolsch or something for your anniversary beer. You got to do something that's a more bold and takes time and put it in the barrel. So I actually prefer and sort of expect good breweries to have something like this for their anniversary beers.
Yeah. Man, the more I drink this one, the more I like it. It seems like the sip I just took compared to the first sip is a world of difference. Maybe it's the beer has gotten warmer. Maybe it's my taste buds have adjusted to the differences between that style and the previous styles, but man, I like that one a lot.
What do you think? 85 IBUs? Do you detect that? Like it? What do you think?
No, with all the other malts, it ends up like making that less noticeable.
Yeah, maybe it's the style.
I'm sure the hops are in there, but it's just not. You wouldn't guess that if you were just trying to guess what the IBUs are.
Yeah, I mean, I think that 85 is sort of standard for like a double IPA. You know, a lot of beers, if it's an IPA, if it's 8.5%, IBU tends to be around 85. It's a little harder to judge with a barley wine because it's not a style that has a lot of bitterness. But I don't detect much bitterness at all, but there's not a lot of sweetness either. This is just a well-rounded, complex, tasty beer. I agree with you. I enjoy this a lot.
And it also, I guess, would depend on what the hops are. Like, I get a lot of English quality to this. English hops. I get, like, if this wasn't a barley wine and this was a pale ale, it would be kind of an English style pale ale where you get kind of those ESB qualities and not the American style hoppiness.
Yeah. And you know, there's English barley wine style versus American barley wine style. I'm not an expert on barley wine. I will be the first to tell you, but I get where you're coming from there.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to say, I think this is probably like more of the English barley wine style than the American, which I tend to prefer, I think. It's a little more approachable, a little less over the top on the drinkability. Okay, well, start thinking about what you want your favorite beer of the day to be, Jeff. But before we pick our favorite beers of this show, I wanted to make sure that everyone knows that Beer of the Day is a site that features a different beer every single day of the week. And those are the beers that we're drinking, and mainly just Jeff. He's drinking beers, taking pictures, writing descriptions, and putting it up every single day. And those are beers that we get from Tavor, but we really cannot cover all the beers around this country. You know, we read that list of the U.S. Beer Open, and of the top 10 beers in the country, we had like three or four of them. And that means there's a whole bunch of beer that Jeff and I don't even have access to. So wherever you are in the country, you have a completely different beer scene available to you locally than we have here in California. And we do our best to try and cover the whole country, but in reality, we can't do it ourselves. So what we would ask, and what I think would be rewarding, I mean, we find it rewarding just putting up beers. It's fun to do. But it would be really great if more Beer of the Day podcast listeners or Beer of the Day site users went out, got a beer, a good beer that's local to them, took pictures of it, wrote a description, and put it up on the website. Anybody, any Beer of the Day user can add a beer to the site. And then once we have that beer up there, we will schedule it and feature it as the Beer of the Day. What that will do is allow all the Beer of the Day users, and we're talking 10,000 Facebook users, 6,000 Twitter users, a couple thousand Instagram users. We're talking about thousands of people here. And then thousands of people visiting the website as well. Those people are going to be able to have an idea of how, what the beer scene is in your part of the country. So, I mean, Jeff and I have been around the country. We've been to Missouri, and we've been to Vermont, and we've been to Hawaii, and we've been to Portland and San Diego and, you know, a lot of different places, but there's a lot of places we haven't been to and we haven't been to recently. And so if you post a beer of the day from where you live, we're going to have a better idea of the beer scene in your area. And that is really going to be helpful for us. Plus, it's kind of a boom for the breweries around you. If you have a local brewery you like and their beer gets featured as the beer of the day, all of a sudden there's thousands of people around the country that are going to all of a sudden know about that beer and probably want to seek it out and try it at some point. So there's a lot of advantages to being featured as the beer of the day. And as far as just exposure, and then all the users themselves can kind of expand their beer knowledge and have a better appreciation about beer throughout the country. So do us a favor, do yourself a favor, and your local brewery is a favor, post up a beer, and we'll feature it as beer of the day. And you're going to help us out. You're going to help Jeff out because his liver is suffering right now. I don't know if you, maybe he'll tell you about his most recent doctor's appointment, but it wasn't pretty. So post a beer and help Jeff's liver. All right, let's get it. Let's figure out what our favorite beer of the day was.
Well, let me recap the beers we had first. Okay. But yeah, I think you made a good point. I think I need to start a GoFundMe page for my liver transplant that I'm going to have at 40 years old. But anyway, I think we had a good, diverse set of beers tonight. So we started out with every day, once a day, give yourself an IPA from Evil Twin Brewing in Brooklyn, New York. Second beer was Supa Juice from Gross Strain Brewing in La Vista, Nebraska. That was a double IPA as well. Third beer was the Oyster Tompkins from Three Magnets Brewing Company in Olympia, Washington. And then the last beer was 11, the 11th anniversary barley wine from Double Mountain Brewing in Hood River, Oregon.
All right, pick a number, one or two?
Two.
So you picked it correctly. Can you not see that?
Does that mean I go first?
Well, you can either elect to go first or you can defer and kick off.
I'll go first because I think I know what Dallas is going to pick. And I'm going to pick a different beer. I would say all of the beers tonight were good. There was nothing that was like so great. Sometimes we have shows where we have beers that are fantastic, phenomenal, where, you know, there's excellent beers. I think all of them were pretty good. The one I think I would pick is actually the Three Magnets Oyster Tompkins Hama Hama Stout. It was just interesting to me. That was a what we thought was a strange brew. It turned out to be not that strange. But I don't drink a ton of stouts. I mean, when I drink a stout, I tend to have like a barrel-aged stout where I can sip it, watch a movie, a TV show, whatever. This was not like that. It was different. It was a stout that had zero sweetness. It was more like a soy sauce, acidic sort of flavor that I enjoyed. And 10.1%, hardly detectable, very tasty. It's a brewery that mostly makes IPAs, so it was cool to have that. And that was sort of the best beer I think I had for tonight. So that's my beer of the day from Three Magnets.
All right. What am I going to pick, Jeff?
11.
You think so? I thought about picking 11.
No, you're 11th pick anniversary. Evil Twin.
I'm going to pick the Evil Twin. Every day, once a day, give yourself an IPA. This was maybe just because I haven't had a beer in a while, but it was this great citrus flavor. So drinkable for 9%. I mean, that's a scary drinkable beer for 9%, but that's kind of what you want. It's kind of a beer that's universal. Anyone could drink it and appreciate it. It wasn't super Northeast, and it wasn't super West Coast. It was kind of in the middle, and a beer that a lot of people would be able to enjoy. So if you're going to have one beer that you have one a day of, that's a pretty good one. Evil Twin usually always does a good job, and they did a good job with that one also. But all around good beers tonight. No complaints from me.
Good choice. I was picking between the two, so I went with the one that came to my mind first, but I could have gone for that beer just as well. And again, that's sort of the beer that defines what we do, an IPA every day. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, that's going to close out the show for tonight. But we thank you for tuning in, and we'll remind you once again to check out our website, beerofthedaytheday.com. The usernames on all the social media is the same. Beer of the Day. That's all you got to know. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us, like us, and we post it there every single day. If you sign up on beerofthedaytheday.com, we will email you the Beer of the Day each and every day or text message it straight to your phone with the picture and everything. Doesn't cost you anything. It's perfectly free, and you'll be able to take a good look at all Jeff's handiwork there, putting these beers up each and every day. Remember to post your own Beer of the Day, and we'll make that the Beer of the Day and send that out to all the Beer of the Day people also. All right, well, no promise we'll have one next week, but we will have one within the next couple weeks for sure, and be sure to tune in for that. For Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Heliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast.